What things soever were written, St. Paul writes in today's epistle, were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Parents, priests, people, admire the supernatural prudence of this angel of great counsel, the prudence too of his cousin, the angel whom the Father had sent to prepare his way before him. This is the situation in today's gospel, and it's really a very human one. You see, John is now in prison, and his disciples are coming to see him and telling him about all of these great deeds that Jesus, the new teacher, is performing. And John's own disciples can't help but be a little jealous. It used to be them everyone was talking about. But now John is locked up in prison because he denounced Herod for his divorce and remarriage. And John faces the quandary, how am I going to get my men to follow the Lamb of God? He could excoriate them, their dull but loyal hearts. He could insist and argue with them, but no. He simply sends two as representatives to go to see Jesus, not for his own sake, but for their sake. And he sends them with a leading question. That's always best, with a question. Art thou he that art to come, or look we for another? He knows that our Lord can and will take it from there. And our Lord does. Our Lord doesn't start to lecture them, but he simply asks, now what have you heard? What have you seen? These, after all, are not bad men, these disciples of John, who don't want to believe in our Lord yet. And they are quite curious about what they've heard, and perhaps what they've even seen. Miracles that everyone is talking about. The word of it gets to John in prison. That's our human nature, isn't it? We're not quite ready yet to believe, to heed the doctrine, but the supernatural fascinates us. And a miracle, why, that's got to interest everybody. Just as people today still are fascinated by Fatima and its secrets and its predictions. And what's the key, they ask? How are we supposed to understand this? It's easy quite to miss what Mary is asking of us, which is penance and the conversion of our life, which is prayer. Especially to her Immaculate Heart. Conversion always has to precede consecration. There are no simple answers in this world. The Pope and the bishops, they have to be converted first, because the gospel they preach today is simply not the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the true path from any miracle is to the doctrine, and then to our own personal practice of that teaching. So John wants his men to follow this path, as do Our Lady and all of the saints desire for us. This is their good counsel. Remember, that gift of the Holy Ghost enables us to discern what is the best way to serve God, and then sort of roll up our sleeves and go about it with great promptness and eagerness and zeal. So there we have the situation. There is these two skeptical emissaries from John, and they're wondering if our Lord is the predicted one or not. But because actions speak louder than words, our Lord points out the words of the Old Testament prophets, which are really being fulfilled by him. Then he calls on them for their own experience. You see, this gospel took place just after our Lord raised the son of the widow of Nahum from the dead. And everybody's talking about it. And there were a lot of eyewitnesses. So it makes sense our Lord can sum things up. The blind are seeing now, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead rise again. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Here too you see our Lord's prudence. He doesn't direct his message to the powerful of the land. Christ's gospel is renunciation, the cross, detachment from the goods of this world. That's a hard message for people that are wealthy and comfortable in this life. He goes to the poor, and they receive it with joy. But not only those who are physically poor, he preaches as well to those who are spiritually poor, that is to say, the pagans or the Gentiles, to us. And blessed is he, last of all, our Lord says, who shall not be scandalized in me. Our Lord is so considerate, so measured in his words, and so personalized in his approach to each soul, that he does everything possible to avoid scandal, even for the wicked. But envy, hypocrisy, pride, these are always scandalized by the good, by the gospel. And no amount of prudence is ever going to stop that. John's emissaries are satisfied with the answer they receive, and they leave. And then our Lord sort of turns to look at his own disciples and at this big crowd that's following them, and he knows what they're thinking. Envy. Envy is such a natural thing. In our lives, we call it jealousy. In the church, you'll always find envy. My group against your group, Father so-and-so against this other one, and humility goes out the window. It's always that attitude of, we'll show you, and we'll win this one, and all the rest of it. The apostles are envious men. And you can imagine their thoughts. Here, ha, your master's in prison now, and ours is drawing the crowd. The competition between the two groups. What does our Lord do? He concludes prudently this lesson he is giving by drawing attention from himself back to St. John. Just as our Lord desires to honor the saints, and especially his mother, and he, remember, serves as an angel to prepare the way for devotion to his own mother. So he praises John for his firmness, the austerity of his life. Says he's really an angel who is preparing my way before me. If you are a faithful Christian, you're always trying to convince, always trying to change, always trying to convert someone, yourself. First of all, an apostle's work is never done, but often it is not quite begun because of our own blundering ways. In other words, we say too much. We come on too strong, too preachy. It's too much of this, listen to me and I'm going to tell you how it is, and I'll tell you and the rest of it. When John sends his followers to Jesus, our Lord simply says, well, what have you seen? Well, what have you heard? And then he finishes up by praising St. John, the angel of great counsel. Our Lord always went one step at a time. Why did our Lord often say, don't tell anyone, shh, after a miracle? Why did our Lord not lay everything out clearly and answer all objections to, in John 6, the doctrine of the Blessed Sacrament? Why was our Lord so silent before Pontius Pilate? Why, these are the counsels of eternal wisdom. St. Paul would say, in its folly, folly to those who are perishing. What is more common in the human heart than envy or jealousy? This desire we have for money and for success, and a certain sadness we have when we see someone else who has achieved it. What is more human than the fascination with the spectacular and the supernatural in its most startling manifestation. And yet, how does our Lord deal with things? With a simple, simple prudence. That doesn't come to us naturally. It's difficult for us on a good day to be angels. That's where Scripture, I think, comes in. St. Paul says, do you need some hope for your life and for this age? Scripture, along with patience, equals hope. Love it. Love the Gospels. Read them. Meditate on them. Apply them to your life. You all should have a missal, and you bring the missal to Mass with you. And it's a good idea to read the Gospel not just once, but several times. How can you, as the week goes on, continue to read your Gospel? Your other most precious possession is a rosary. By the rosary, you are reading the Gospel. You are reading a meaning for your life today, in each decade of Mary's beads. These two things, your rosary and your missal, should be most precious to you of all. If you want to have some hope today, if you would like to find the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures. Look, our lives are not so different from those of Jesus, our Savior, or of his precursor, St. John. And St. Paul is right. Whatever was written for our learning, and all of it leads to hope, which, linked with just a little patience, provides us with a tremendous amount of comfort from the Word of God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.